Stewardship is joyfully managing what God has given us to His glory. On the day of judgment, our Lord will evaluate the effort and the joy that we devoted to managing what He gave us in this life. This evaluation has no bearing on our salvation, but it has everything to do with our opportunities for service in paradise. This is what we've been studying now for several months. We learn that God will give us some things that will follow us, as it were, into eternity. Our bodies, our minds, our children, our neighbors, our planet, the church. And these are things that we must manage now. They're like gifts that we are preparing to lay before Him. This is an unfinished gift, needs to be finished, and needs to be worked on to be presented as a gift of love. And we are given tools with which to prepare and manage these gifts. That's been our theme for the last 2 weeks and this week also. Things that are like this foam brush, things that we use and then we throw away, resources that we need now to do our stewardship, but we won't need one day. Like time, our lifespan in this world, or money, or spiritual gifts. These are tools we're not going to take with us. We lay them aside when life is over, but we need them now. We need them as part of our stewardship. And we've already talked about time and money, and today we're going to study spiritual gifts. Because of all the tools that we have, I think these are most closely associated in Scripture with our stewardship. Our text is in 1 Peter chapter 4. The key verses are 11 to 10, but I'm going to start reading in verse 7. Words of the Apostle Peter, the Word of God. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Spiritual gifts are a mystery to most Christians, I have found. Most of us have heard of spiritual gifts, but we're not quite sure what they are, and the large majority of believers seem to have no idea how they are gifted. I mean, people say that. Many Christians only know about spiritual gifts because of the modern charismatic movement. In fact, the two words translated spiritual gift are from one Greek word, charismata. Charis is the Greek word for grace. A charismata is an instance or a manifestation of grace. Some of the ancient gifts seem rather strange to us today, such as the gift of tongues or the gift of super strength. Remember Samson. Although they made perfect sense at the time. But there are many more permanent and more practical examples of God's grace in the church. The book of Romans, for example, talks about spiritual gifts, including serving and teaching and encouraging and financial empowerment and leadership and mercy. The Old Testament would add artistic skill and music and wisdom. Every list of gifts is different in the Scriptures. We aren't given a definitive number to work with because there are so many different ways that God's grace is manifested. Spiritual gifts are a principal aspect of our stewardship. That's the main message of verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Now, the word gift is that's the word charismata there. Faithfully administer is the very word for stewardship. So Peter clearly tells us that each of us are stewards of one or more charismatic spiritual gifts, which we are to use to manage God's grace to each other. I found this verse to be life-changing. I read the verse and I wonder if we get what it's saying here. Because it actually tells me how I can receive the grace of God. Christian, how do you receive God's grace? How do you do it? How do you receive encouragement, wisdom, help, mercy, healing, the things that you need? How do these practical experiences of God's grace come into your life? Now, you know that all grace comes from God. You know all grace is grounded in Christ's work on the cross and His resurrection. You know all grace is sent out by the Holy Spirit. But did you know that we are the ones who manage the delivery of God's grace to each other? Would you look at verse 10 again? Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. We manage God's grace to each other. It's sent from God, transported via air freight by Jesus Christ, finally unloaded right at your door, but the grace that you receive doesn't have your name on it. It's got the names of other people on it. You are the last link in the delivery process. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering, managing, stewarding God's grace in its various forms. Spiritual gifts describe the way you and I administer, distribute God's grace to each other. God's grace rarely comes to us directly. It usually comes through another believer. Did you know that? Did you know that? Spiritual gifts are different from general love and ministry. Note how Peter talks about general Christian virtues and ministry in verses 7 to 9. He says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded, self-controlled, so you can pray. And above all, love each other. Love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. It talks about hospitality and so on. Every Christian is to be self-controlled, to pray, be hospitable. There is nothing in the world, nothing, no gift, nothing is more powerful than the miracle of being able to love each other. But spiritual gifts vary from Christian to Christian. Love is something every Christian grows and ministers in. Spiritual gifts vary. From the scripture reading earlier, we read that the Holy Spirit gives them to each one just as he determines. You don't determine it, he determines it. The Holy Spirit chooses to give each of us a different aspect of God's grace to deliver to the rest of us in power. That's why spiritual gifts are a part of our stewardship. It's that part of God's grace which is given to us to pass on to others in his name. Notice that Peter doesn't even try to give a list of spiritual gifts. He just says in verse 10, they come in various forms. The actual Greek word there is the word for many-colored. It suggests the idea of a spectrum. Okay, it's a whole spectrum of spiritual gifts, but Peter does put them into two categories. He says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one who is speaking the very words of God. The words of God do not fall to the ground. The words of God are powerful. And if that is a gift that you have, that's the way it is. Sometimes we need God's grace in verbal form. Encouragement, teaching, comfort, exhortation, preaching, wise counsel. All of us can speak with love. Any of us can use the scriptures to speak the truth. But some among us are gifted by the Holy Spirit to pass on God's grace with our words. And the Holy Spirit gives them power to encourage or impart wisdom or lift up or explain or expose or warn or proclaim the gospel. And God's grace is most powerfully heard when those gifted people use their gifts, deliver them. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. It's possible to serve in such a way that God's power is actually made manifest. Sometimes we need God's grace in the form of action, not words, deeds, practical ministry, from hands-on mercy to high-level administration. Now, anybody can perform acts of kindness. Anybody can lead a ministry program. But some of us are gifted by the Holy Spirit to pass on God's grace with our deeds. And the Holy Spirit gives them power to express God's love and accomplish his work through practical action, from organization to finances to visiting somebody who's hurting. And God's grace is most powerfully seen when those gifted people, deliver their gifts. Day by day, you know, we pick up our mail from God, you know, go to the little box we've got, take it out. You find lots and lots of wonderful opportunities. This is mail from God now. You know, lots and lots of wonderful opportunities to steward our minds, our bodies, our neighbors, our church, our children, our planet. And you look through them and you say, well, I think I'm going to give some time to this today. I think I'm going to invest some money in this today. But, you know, occasionally we find in our mail from God packages of grace, potent, life-changing grace that has other people's names on it. maybe a particular name, or maybe group names like, this is addressed to the children of the church. This is for single moms. This is to an adult Sunday school class. Let's see, this is to the homeless in Baltimore. Now, what's wrong? Is all this mail misaddressed? No. God simply wants you to deliver these envelopes, these packages of His grace personally. That's what spiritual gifts are all about. The kinds of packages that God entrusts us to deliver are different for each of us. But we find that we tend to receive the same sort of packages on a regular basis for different people. Some of us receive words of grace to speak to others. They have a speaking gift. Others receive deeds of love to perform for others. They have a doing gift. Now, we can always, all of us, speak or do godly things for each other, but the Holy Spirit has chosen to give each of us especially potent, effective, powerful packages of God's grace to deliver for Him. And the nature of the packages you tend to receive is your spiritual gift. Because you see, God intended for you and me to be in His image. And as we grow in Christ, God wants us to love others powerfully as He does. And so He allows each of us to handle just one little aspect of His power. Maybe more, but at least one. He won't overload any of us. But He's going to give each one of His children some special manifestation of His grace and love to deliver in His name. And when you deliver it, the Holy Spirit makes it come alive. He gives it power. It's not power in you. He gives it power. You see God work before your very eyes, and you get to be a part of it. It's as if Jesus were present. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He manifests Christ. It's as if Jesus were present at that moment and is ministering right alongside of you, right with you. And people are responding to you, but they're also responding to Him at the same time. That's what a spiritual gift is. That's what a charismata is. In your mailbox, you keep getting these packages of organization and structure addressed to various ministries in the church, perhaps, because God has gifted you to bring His organization and structure to those ministries. He does all things decently and in order. Or maybe you keep getting these words of comfort that brothers and sisters need who have lost their jobs or who have lost their babies. Because God has gifted you to bring His words of comfort into that pain. Or maybe you keep getting money that other Christians need or the church need. I keep getting these sermons to deliver to you. I get one a week. Comes regularly in the mail. You don't find your spiritual gift by having somebody lay hands on you. And I don't personally think too many people are helped a whole lot with surveys. The question is, how has God enabled you to make His grace real to people? Through what you say or through what you do. Now that covers a wide spectrum of possibilities. It can be anything from leading a Bible study to baking pies. How is it that you have found you can touch another person's heart with the grace of God? You see your spiritual gift in the ways that other people are blessed by God through you. Not in the ways necessarily you get famous, but in the ways you just see people get blessed. Maybe it's a behind-the-scenes gift, but you see people get blessed. It's your gift. In the ways you see people light up with insight or open up to receive the comfort they need in their pain or rev up to accomplish all of their potential. Through the power of God that the Holy Spirit delivers through you when you are faithful, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. That is your spiritual gift. You can't list them all. You know, when you and I think of stewardship, we usually think of something personal, maybe even private. But spiritual gifts emphasize another dimension of our stewardship, and that is that it's a corporate dimension. We were never meant to manage this planet or the needs of our neighbors or raise our children or even care for our own well-being. We were never meant to do all this alone. We were meant to do it together. And God's power, God's special power to do these things is distributed among us so that we only experience His power when we work together. We read earlier from 1 Corinthians, the body is a unit. Though it's made up of many parts, and though all the parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. Now, the body is made up not of one part, but of many. And Paul develops this analogy very carefully. How each member of the body needs all the others. The eye needs the hand. The head needs the feet. Each part of the body has something the other parts actually need. I cannot see without you. You cannot move without me. Okay? And Paul says the Holy Spirit gives these manifestations of God's powerful grace, these spiritual gifts, to each one as he determines. And he does it, the scripture says, for the common good. He's not trying to bless you with your spiritual gifts. He's blessing others through your spiritual gifts. That means that some of God's most powerful gifts of grace to us, to this church, are in your possession. Well, personally, it means to me that some of God's most powerful gifts of grace to me are in your possession. He won't give them directly to me. He gives them to you to give to me. Some of his most powerful gifts to you are in my possession. He doesn't give them to you. He gives them to me to give to you. To the degree that we are faithful stewards to manage, to administer, to deliver our spiritual gifts, to that degree, God's grace is made real. It's made concrete in this place. And to the degree that we will not, do not administer his grace, to that degree, I will never receive it. You will never receive it in this life. It came all the way from heaven, all the way to our doorstep, but it was never delivered the rest of the way. Can you imagine not delivering a gift that was entrusted to you by God? Occasionally, somebody comes up to me after the service with an envelope, sometimes a check, sometimes cash. And they say, well, you know, Pastor, I missed the offering. Would you please see it to it that this gets into today's offering? How would you feel if I just kind of absentmindedly tossed it under the pulpit? Or threw it in a drawer and it just laid there. Somebody's gift of love to God, ignored, buried, forgotten. You'd be disappointed, wouldn't you? Maybe a little angry. Mickey and I do an awful lot of ordering over the internet. The UPS driver knows us well. Often we hear this thump outside the door. A package or two has been delivered. And of course, he drops off packages to neighbors as well, as does the postman and FedEx and so on. Occasionally, we get a piece of mail or a package that has somebody else's name on it. Maybe they weren't home to receive it, or maybe it was just a mistake. Are we not responsible to walk over and deliver that package to the neighbor? I mean, if your neighbor got one of your packages, shouldn't they walk over and give it to you? How would you feel if you found out 2 months later they just tossed it in the corner and just kind of forgot about it? Books and plays and movies have been made about letters that for one reason or another were delivered years after they were sent, and how whole lives were affected. How are lives affected when God's grace goes undelivered? Did you ever feel that, that God had abandoned you in your time of need? Now, by his grace, you've gotten over it. Over time, the standard means of grace have been effective. They've healed your soul. But at the time when you really needed a powerful word, an effective word of encouragement, or a simple act of love that had God's power to it, so you could just feel his presence there, okay? It didn't have to be big. It just had to be him. And you didn't get it. It wasn't there. Well, perhaps that was a day when one of us was a poor steward of a spiritual gift God entrusted to us to deliver to you. We were too busy, too absorbed with getting ahead or licking our wounds, or too tired, or just too lazy. In fact, you know, we still got that gift for you somewhere. You know, it was a very caring word. Yeah, we were going to invite you to dinner. You got it somewhere. I think it's up in the attic. Thanks. Today there are needs There are plenty of needs in this room. People with chronic illness who sigh under the weight of pain. Churches a bit behind budget. Equipment we need and plans we have made have to go on hold. I mean, giving has been fantastic towards special funds, but the general fund's behind. Children, teens are trudging through a cultural quicksand, threatening to suck them down. Ministry programs stumble along, not because there's nobody to teach, but because there's nobody to master organizational details or lead in singing. And you can't help but wonder if some of us have boxes and boxes of gifts from God. Spiritual supplies that we need as a body, boxes of spiritual gifts just kind of laying around the house, unused, just stored up someplace. And so the body of Christ kind of hobbles on with two fingers and one hand missing because we just won't administer God's grace entrusted to us. One of the reasons I'm in the pastorate, one of several reasons I'm in the pastorate instead of studying physics or working with computers, is because as a very young Christian, I saw some pastors doing a mediocre job in ministry. Now, I didn't think ill of them. They were doing their best, for example, in the pulpit. But they were hardly what you would call gifted. And they manifested very little power. They did what anybody could do, just by trying to prepare a message and getting up and trying to deliver it. People with good hearts. Blessings to Christ's church. God will bless them surely. But it occurred to me, I didn't think ill of them, but it occurred to me that I felt very disappointed in the men who were gifted, who obviously were doing something else with their lives. Where were they? Where are they? There must have been men with tons of powerful biblical insights, insights that are just molding away in a closet someplace or in the basement of their own souls. Gifts of knowledge and gifts of passion that the church needs, but are forever undelivered to those congregations. And of course, I speak of preaching not because it's the most important gift, it's what I do, it's how I'm gifted. God has given me sermons for His church. What kind of a steward would I be if I didn't deliver them to you? What good would they do me in my closet, okay? My point is, it's the same for every spiritual gift. God gives all the gifts His church needs, but we've got to manage them. We've got to distribute them. I preach with some effectiveness simply because the Holy Spirit gives me sermons to deliver. But my management skills, my counseling in certain areas, my financial impact, my hospitality, my understanding of children, there are hundreds of ways in which my ministry is just mediocre. Sure, I can do many of those things as well as the next person. But the body of Christ can only shine with God's power when the people who are spiritually gifted deliver their gifts. Christian, you got to understand how important your spiritual gifts are. Christians have this debilitating attitude that it's only upfront gifts like music or preaching that really count in the church. If you think that way, you've got the whole thing upside down. See, preaching is just meant to educate and inspire us to do the real work of ministry, manifesting Jesus Christ to each other and to a world that needs Him. Do you really think that in the annals of heaven, in a record of how God's people receive God's grace in Jesus Christ, that those annals are going to be filled with sermons? I hope they have their place. But just think of how you have been touched by God's love in your life. I mean, really touched by it. Sometimes it's through a sermon. But it can also be at a youth camp, or an anonymous gift in a hard time, or an unexpected visit with prayer, or a Bible study somebody hosted and somebody else led, or a homemade greeting card, or the simple gospel shared with you by a friend. Various people who, when they do it, somehow it just works. You can just sense Christ's presence right there. Because that's a gift God has given them. Christian, do you know how valuable those boxes are that have been delivered to your door? And how much the rest of us need what you have to deliver? Because the body isn't made up of one part but many. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it wouldn't for that reason cease to be part of the body. God has arranged all the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? So there are many parts but one body. I can't say to the hand, I don't need you. On the contrary, says the Word of God, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Indispensable. Do you believe that? Do you believe that what God has given to you is indispensable to Christ's body? The way you physically set up for a function could make all the difference as to whether a man reopens his heart to his wife or is distracted because he cannot hear the testimony that person is trying to give. Your creative writing could bring scriptural truth to audiences who will never go to church. Your compassionate listening could be the one memory that years later brings tears to the eyes of a former child who thinks of you when she thinks of Christ. Your passionate music could make twice the impact of a standard sermon, especially if you offer it in a hospital room or a funeral. Your spiritual grasp of finances could multiply tenfold the impact of all the other spiritual gifts the church has. Christian, have you been receiving mail over the years addressed to others and wondering why? I mean, has your heart been telling you that maybe you should be delivering God's blessing in a particular way, you know, if you just did this? And maybe you see others who are struggling to bring that blessing and they do it with kind of mediocrity, bless their hearts. And you know that in your closet, you've got the same grace, but it came to you with a measure of God's power. You know it's true because you have seen people respond to you in the past as if Jesus were next to you when you did that thing. I want to thank God. I'll thank Him right here and publicly for all of you who use your gifts. Church is full of people who use their gifts. Because I want to personally thank you for how they have blessed me and how they have blessed this congregation that I love. You make the church what it is. And I can't wait to see you approach the Lord on the great day of judgment. Your sins covered, your future guaranteed, ready to receive your assignment for paradise. I hope I'm there. I just hope I can see it. Well, now, my beloved child, I have here a complete invoice of all the spiritual gifts that I sent to your address. Let's see what you did with them. This is wonderful. This is really wonderful. I am very pleased. Seems you like giving away my blessing. You've distributed a car full. How would you like a boatload of blessing to administer in paradise? I got it all wrapped up. I got it ready to go. And now I think I've found somebody who will enjoy spending eternity delivering it. Let's pray. Father, when Peter wrote about our stewardship, our administration of your grace, he began by saying the end of all things is near. And Father, to our ears, that's not a threat. It's a call to action. Because we need so much grace in this fallen world, Father. We need so much grace. And we recognize with Peter that the grace this world is going to receive, the grace we ourselves will receive, has been given to us to manage for each other. It doesn't come directly to us out of the sky. It comes through those who are entrusted with your truth and with your love to pass on. Father, we would like to right now forgive our brothers and sisters who have withheld from us the grace that you entrusted them to give us. We really missed it, but we forgive them. And Lord God, we look for similar forgiveness from you for our own laziness and for keeping for ourselves that which you gave us to give away. But mostly, Father, right now, we're just supremely thankful that you haven't stopped trusting us to pass on your love and your truth with power. And we are delighted to have some part, to be some part of the body of Christ. We're not going to envy the parts other people have because we know that our own part is indispensable. So, Father, would you multiply our joy in using the spiritual power you have given us to be a blessing? Thank you. Thank you for sharing your joy with us now and in eternity as we are faithful stewards.